from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Settlers, that's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. It is Todd Starnes. I feel like I need to introduce myself again. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Todd Starnes, the host of the Todd Starnes Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And I've got to tell you, just give you an explanation of what I've been up to over the past couple of days. So I was supposed to be in Houston hanging out with the incredibly beautiful and intelligent women of the Republican Party in Houston, Texas. And that got canceled because of the crazy snow that's going down. And the crazy weather situation in the Memphis area. So that got canceled. I had already asked my good buddy Chris Salcedo, and did he not do a great job over the past couple of days? We love Chris, and we'll get him back in the mix very soon. But I asked Salcedo to fill in, and that actually gave me the 2 days I needed to finish up a major book project for our friends at Newsmax, and that book will be coming out later on this spring. So anyway, I was with you in spirit. I was listening on the airwaves, and it is always great to get back behind this big, beautiful, huge microphone. By the way, well done. I was listening to a lot of the calls, and welcome to all of you new listeners to the program. Great to have you guys with us as well. Fredericksburg, Virginia, WTON, you'll be starting with us on Monday. So we're excited to have yet another Virginia affiliate of the radio show. All right, where do we begin? Well, there's an interesting situation unfolding in Minnesota, and Tom Holman, by the way, was giving a big press conference up there this morning, and we'll get to some of that audio hopefully a little bit later on in the program. Also, there was another press briefing involving Pam Bondi and Harmeet Dhillon. And, guys, if you don't mind, if you could just send over what audio we do have, just shoot that over to me in an email, please. I'd greatly appreciate that. So we've got all of these things unfolding right now in Minneapolis. And last week, and I warned you at the time, and I got holy you-know-what for doing this, but I got a lot of blowback because I said, hold off here, guys, on this Alex Pretty, the male nurse, the gentle male nurse who works with military veterans in the hospital. And we take nothing away from we honor anybody who works with our military, especially those that have been injured. No doubt about that. But when you saw the video, and we all saw it when the guy was shot, it was very clear to me that this was not some sort of a peaceful protester who just got a little bit out of hand and lost his cool. This was a guy who was looking for a fight. He was itching for a fight, as we say back home in Tennessee. This guy was looking to stir things up with the federal agents, the ICE agents. That's what was going on. And folks have been riled up over this. The Democrats are saying, you know, that the guy was murdered. He was assassinated. You got Democrats literally out there saying ICE agents are now hunting down people and shooting them in the street. Of course, that's all untrue. That none of that is true. Then you had Republicans starting to pile on, mostly out of the Senate. And trust me when I tell you this, there are more rhinos in the Senate than there are America First Republicans. I mean, it really is that. I'm sorry to say that, but that's true. And we got to see that because those are the people that jumped out of, we've got to de-escalate. We just got to get everybody together in a room and sing Kumbaya. No, you don't. But anyway, I'll get to that. Then you've got the folks over at Fox News Channel, and most of those folks are getting paid to be conservative. So whenever the fire burns a little too hot, the Fox News host said, well, you know, maybe we ought to just de-escalate things here. Maybe we ought to just pull back. You even had Hannity out there, and Hannity on his radio show saying, well, you know what? We only need to go after the most criminal of the criminal illegal aliens. All right. Well, what does he mean by that? for me, ladies and gentlemen, it's a pretty black and white thing. If you're here illegally, you're committing a crime, and you have to go. And it doesn't matter to me if you're a very nice person, if you've been here 20 years or 30 years. And it does seem to me, though, if you have been here 20 or 30 years and you're an illegal alien, then you're worse than the person who just came across the border because you've had 20 or 30 years to become a legal citizen. And therefore, you have been stealing from the American people for the last, I don't know, 20 or 30 years. So when I saw the rush to judgment here, I'm just sitting back and I'm watching it all unfold and I'm telling people, you're going to regret this. And sure enough, yesterday, a new video dropped and you can go to my website, toddstearns.com. We've got it there. New video dropped. And the week before Alex Pretty was shot and killed, he was back out on the streets and he was seen on video spitting on ICE agents. The agents ignore the guy. They get into their SUV. Then Pretty starts attacking the SUV, knocks out the taillight, and the ICE agents jump out. There was a struggle, and we don't know what happened. We don't know if the guy was arrested, that he was set. We don't know that part of the story yet. But what it does tell us, and by the way, the language coming out of that guy's mouth, insanely vulgar, and it was proof, again, of intent. This was no peaceful protester. Because the argument and the narrative, by the way, from last, well, he's just a gentle soul, this man. He would not hurt a fly. He was there just to assist a woman who had fallen during the scuffle with, no, that's simply not true at all. People are demanding, you know, they wanted Greg Bovino's head on a platter. Even the Republicans and Fox News, the official mouthpiece of the administration. And of course, now it turns out that it was simply not true because it was clear to me this guy was a raging leftist operator. That's what was going on here. That guy was out there looking for a fight. And I got to tell you, shame on all you Republicans who keep falling for all that. I mean, every single time you guys fall for this, you have to wait. You have to wait for all of the information to come out. They never learn, though, do they? They never, ever learn. So again, ladies and gentlemen, great tragedy, but all of this could have been prevented had the guy simply not attacked federal agents in the first place. So Tom Holman is out there this morning, and he's saying, well, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. But he said the attacks on ICE have to stop. Cut number three, please.
Can you please be specific about how many ICE and how many Border Patrol agents are currently operating in the state?
I think we're near three. There's been some rotations. Another thing I witnessed when I came here, I'll share this with you. I met with a lot of people, a lot of the agents. They've been in theater. Some of these people have been in theater for 8 months. So there's going to be rotations of personnel. Hopefully less now that we have some agreements, maybe we can make it more efficient and safe. But they've been in theater a long time, and so you know, there's rotations happen all the time to get people out here and go home, get some rest, and see their families. Day after day, can't eat in restaurants, day after day, having people spit on you and blow whistles at you, day after day, having all these threats at you, day after day, having people trying to interfere with you, day after day, you know, they're human. So, you know, we've got to rotate these people, and we've already rotated some, but my main focus now is drawdown based upon the great conversations I've had with your state and local leaders. Again, I'm not a fool. I'm not walking away without seeing this put in place, but I take the word of the people I met with. I think they're honest, and I think they're good brokers that they want public safety protected, and they also want what's happening in the city to go away. And that's my goal.
All right. So that was a little bit of Tom Holman, our border czar in Minneapolis this morning. Then you've got Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren out there, and she is narrating the story of Alex Pretty. Take a listen.
Caring for people was at the core of who he was. He was incapable of causing harm. Alex carried patience, compassion, and calm as a steady light within him. Even at the very end, that light was there. I recognized his familiar stillness and signature calm composure.
Sadly, the light wasn't there because he kicked it out with his boots, with his shoes. It's every single time, every single time the Republicans do this. And the Democrats do. You watch, the Democrats are going to back off of this guy because they realize it's toxic now. And they're not going to be able to, they're not going to be able to win the midterms with Alex Pretty's death. They thought they were going to be able to do it with Renee Good, the one who tried to make a hood ornament out of a federal agent. But yeah, that didn't work out either. And by the way, Pretty's own family said, we told him you don't do anything stupid. So they knew this guy was a hothead. They knew it. Oh, by the way, have you seen the photos of the guy? No. I'm not making fun of the guy's appearance at all. I'm just saying that the media used AI to basically give the guy some sort of a facial makeover because apparently they thought he was not attractive enough in real life. So they gave the guy a makeover. Meanwhile, and this is all you need to know about Hollywood and all these other folks out there. You've got Stephen Colbert, and he is still on the air, not for much longer, but Colbert's out there, and he's saying that the ICE agents are actually worse than the Nazis. Take a listen.
Bovino went on complaining. Look, Dana, they're trying to portray Border Patrol agents and ICE agents as Gestapo, Nazi, and many other words. Yes, do not compare ICE or Border Patrol agents to the Nazis. That's an unfair comparison. The Nazis were willing to show their faces.
Wow. There you go. You know what nobody's talking about? Nobody's talking about any of the people that have been killed by these very dangerous illegals. Nobody's talking about Lake and Riley. As a matter of fact, little Jimmy Kimmel a couple of nights ago was like weeping on air for the male nurse. Jimmy Kimmel never wept on air for Lake and Riley, a young American girl who was killed by an illegal, who was raped by an illegal. Nobody's praying for that family. Nobody's weeping for that family. So we'll see how all of this plays out. But it's frustrating, I know, for many of you in the MAGA world, because when you look at the polling data, it's sort of like, you know, I was going to give this example on Monday, but I'll share it with you now. This is where I think we are with everything. You know how the Democrats, they look at the issue of transgenderism. It's like a 99-1. It's 99-1. The voters are just appalled by transgenderism, right? And yet the Democrats are hell-bent on embracing that one issue. Even though it's going to cost them elections, they are standing with the trans community, even though it's like a 99-1 issue for voters. On the other side, you've got the Republicans. And when you look at all the polling data, and I think CNN did a great job of breaking down all of the major polls on this, an overwhelming majority of the American people support deporting all of them. Everybody, if you're here illegally, you got to go and then come back the right way. An overwhelming majority of voters say, yeah, that's what we believe in. And yet the Republicans are willing to die on that. They're willing to just reject what the voters want because they think it will attract more Democrats to their fold. It is a losing proposition for Republicans. We're going to do our best between now and the midterms to drag the Republican Party across the finish line, hopefully to victory. But if they keep pulling this nonsense, I can't guarantee that. I wish I could, but they are beginning to alienate voters, and that's what concerns me here. You know, we need to be tripling down. I am tired of us surrendering the moral high ground to the Democrats every single time. It's got to stop, and I got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Losing weight's getting harder and harder as you get older, and it's not your fault. You're eating better, you're moving more, but your body isn't responding anymore. The harder you try, the less progress you see. And I am just like you. I've been dealing with this, and recently I made the call to PhD Weight Loss. And it's changing everything. I've been on the program for a week now, already dropped 3 pounds. Feel better than ever. PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss, and they fix the root cause. And it isn't as simple as counting calories. Your body is much more complicated than that. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year's. By the way, this is just so you sort of, this is a sort of inside baseball behind the scenes. We have a lot of lawmakers that want to come on this program. They want to come on my Newsmax show, and we're happy to accommodate them. However, we do explain to the lawmakers that we don't work off talking points. So I'm going to ask, you know, important questions, and if that, you know, if that bothers you, then you probably don't want to come on my show. So we've had several that have canceled in recent days. And the reason why is they knew that I was going to ask them why they signed off on all of these massive expenditures supported by Democrats that would fund things like gender ideology and these medical mutilation surgeries and all of this kind of nonsense. And we're getting the latest was what, Herodopoulos out of Florida, and now we understand Bean, Congressman Bean, is pulling the plug on his appearance. So I'm just telling you, folks, we call it like it is. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Jerry in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. Hi, Jerry. What's going on?
Oh, doing great. I enjoy your hearing you, and you are straight up, and don't you change. And I'm straight up here, too. I'm going to talk about Tom, that worthless Tom Tillis.
Oh, boy.
I listened to the radio this morning when it wakes me up. Well, I listen to it in the morning before I get up at a Charlotte station. And all these, Tom Tillis is Tom done this, Tom so-and-so. It's been past time for him to go. He ain't nothing but a Democrat in disguise.
Well, you know, President Trump's not a fan either, Jerry. The president earlier today said he was worthless. He was a loser. And this is all because Tillis is one of those calling for Kristi Noem to step down to resign.
Exactly. He came from up, from my knowledge, he came from up north to Conneaut, North Carolina, and lives on the lake in a exclusive place or whatever and all. He's a piece of crap. He hadn't done nothing to help us. He's all time got some bull crap going to recognize him. And he done a good thing when he says he wasn't running again because he knew that the people had enough of him here. But
well, Jerry, I hear your frustration, my friend. And look, here's the reality. We're going to have to start doing a better job of electing Republicans. And good riddance to Tom Tillis. But he's still got plenty of time to do a lot of damage to the America First agenda, as does Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins. The list goes on and on. It is just, again, shocking the number of rhinos that are right now in the U.S. Senate. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. Wow, this half hour already scooting by. Hang tight. We're going to your calls, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, there's a big story brewing in Atlanta, Fulton County, Georgia. And one of the things that we've been pretty consistent with here on this program, we have been calling on the administration, we've been calling on the Republicans to follow through on all of these scandals. And when you go back to 2020 and the presidential election and the fraud that the entire election process was rife with fraud. Now, we were the only, I think, national talk show that did not get sued by, you know, the voting machine people, because we never accused the voting machine people of doing anything insidious at all. But when you look at the videos, and when you do look at the videos of, for example, whatever was happening at the election hub there in Fulton County, Georgia, it was very clear that there was something going on there. Stuffing of the ballots, maybe throwing some ballots away. Anyway, the FBI raided the election hub in Fulton County, Georgia, yesterday. And all they would say, and again, this is what they're telling Fox News, is that this is an investigation related to the 2020 presidential election. The FBI says that this was authorized law enforcement action by the court, and they would not comment any further. So the DOJ also not commenting. President Trump lost Georgia by just a smidge. So if they're about to uncover something, and by the way, the Democrats are freaking out right now over this. They know the jig may be up. Well, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Susie in Gainesville, Georgia. Susie, what do you think about this big story brewing down there?
Hey, I just wanted to see if you know about it. I think it's fantastic because I always said they stole it from us, and they only got 11,000 votes over him in Fulton County, Georgia.
I'm telling you, Susie, there's no way Trump lost Georgia. I'm just going to tell you, there's no way he lost Georgia.
I'm telling you, Todd, there's no way Trump lost Georgia anytime he ran. No way. So, as you know, that's my man right there. So, I don't listen to any negative talk about my president, Todd.
No, yeah, and nor should you, because Donald Trump, here's the thing, Donald Trump is the only guy who's delivering on all of his campaign promises. We just need the only reason the Republicans won Congress is because Trump was running, and we needed them to move the president's agenda through the halls of Congress. Now, if they're not going to do that, well, we're going to have to step back and reevaluate that particular relationship. But Donald Trump hasn't changed his position on anything.
Right. And I'll just, as I told you before, I'll stand beside him any day, Todd, any day. And I'll stand up with you, too.
Well, you're kind to say that. Susie, good hearing from you, and thanks for calling in today. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, yesterday on Newsmax, Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne joined us to talk about the situation in Minneapolis. And this is where we really need to have a conversation, folks, because Tom Holman and the president, President Trump, both of them have said, well, you know, we've had very nice conversations with Governor Tim Walz, Mayor Jacob Fry, and, you know, we're going to find ways to work out together. That's not going to happen. And we know that because yesterday Tim Walz put out a campaign flyer saying that he would not be working with the Trump administration on anything. And Jacob Fry is telling people to completely ignore federal law. Now, it just seems to me that if you're going to do that, and at this point it's really quadrupling down, then I say we've got a couple of choices here. Number one, we can immediately suspend all federal funding for Minnesota. I mean, if they're not going to follow federal law and they're going to intervene in lawful police operations, just pull the plug on their funding. That is something Congress can do. I don't think they're going to do that. The other thing is they could actually arrest Tim Walz and Jacob Fry for what they have done. I don't think they're going to do that either. They should, but I don't think they're going to. And I know there's been some political calculus done, and they're saying, well, you know, if we go in and arrest them, the Democrats and the media will just, you know, beat us up over it. Well, they're going to beat you up anyway. So why not just go ahead, start playing some hardball, and get in there and go after these folks? Anyway, here's our conversation with Beth Van Dyne.
So, again, here we are, President Trump offering that olive branch. And now it looks as though the mayor and the governor are using that olive branch to beat President Trump over the head with it. What say you?
Well, I think the mayor is an idiot. You know, having been a former mayor of a top 100 city in population, I've worked with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This is not hard. We had a great relationship with ICE when we would arrest somebody or just stop them on charges, of potential breaking the law. We would check their residential status. If they weren't able to prove that they were here legally, we'd detain them. We contacted ICE. ICE came and interviewed them. And if they were deemed to be in our country illegally, they were deported. And you know what? Nobody got shot. Nobody got into a violent confrontation. This is how you work with a federal law enforcement if you are a local representative. The mayor can do it. He's specifically choosing not to. Nobody's asking him to enforce federal law, but what they are asking as law enforcement officers, and he as a mayor took an oath of office that he would uphold the laws of the Constitution and the laws of his state, which he's not doing. But working with law enforcement across the local, state, and federal is how you keep your people safe. He could do it. He's choosing not to. And unfortunately, we're seeing this, in sanctuary cities across the country. In Texas, where I am, we actually have a state legislature that took it seriously. We are an anti-sanctuary state. We also have the 287G program. We work with our federal law enforcement officers. Nearly one out of four of the deportations that have happened in the country have happened in the state of Texas. And guess what? Decreases in crimes, decreases in drug activities, decreases in people who are dying from drugs, from overdoses, decreases in nearly all crime categories. And shockingly enough, when you actually have 2.7 people who have been deported, your rental rates also go down. This is a benefit to the American people. And you've got a mayor, you've got a governor who don't seem to care.
Are the Republicans getting a little wobbly in Washington on this? Certainly, a lot of folks have been putting out statements, and whenever you see those kinds of statements, you're like, oh, geez, Lord, don't go down this path. I mean, when you look at all the polling data, the American people, they want the Republicans to deport all of the illegals.
Not only do you want them to deport, but you also want to make sure that when you are working with them directly, you have a very strong message. We are enforcing the law, and that's exactly what we plan on doing. As far as Republicans being squishy on this issue, I haven't seen it. I have not seen anybody being squishy on this issue. In fact, I've got a lot of bills that we've already put in place that would I think the Trump administration has too, where if you are getting federal funding, that stops. If you cannot protect your citizens, let's cut their federal funding. You know, it's amazing when you follow the money, what happens.
So the vice president actually asked a pretty interesting question to Mayor Fry. He said, how about federal law enforcement? Should they feel safe calling 911? Right now they don't, because you've told your police officers not to help. This is what's just mind-boggling. You've got ICE agents in Texas, Florida, Louisiana, Tennessee making arrests without a single problem. And by the way, in Memphis, one of the bluest Democrat cities in America, and then everything is fine here because there is cooperation between state and local police. Yeah. What's your reaction to what's happening there where the police are basically being told, you know what, those federal guys are on their own?
Well, I tell you, I had a very strong relationship with our police officers. I still do. And it's very frustrating for them. They took that oath. They are police officers because they want to be able to make their community safer, because they want to be able to enforce their laws. And they're saying they're a political elected officials who are now allowing them to do their jobs for politics. This is all about power. Democrats are happy with census population because that actually guarantees them ways of being able to maintain their power, their congressional seats out of the census. Because let's face it, people are moving with their feet, they're voting with their feet, and they're leaving those sanctuary cities, they're leaving those blue states. Nobody wants to see their tax dollars spent like this. And the police, my heart goes out for them, because these are really strong men and women who took their oath seriously and are ticked because it's being used as a political weapon. That is all that this is about at the end of the day, is politics.
One final thought here. The Democrats now threatening a shutdown over funding to Homeland Security. What's going to be the Republican play here?
Well, look, we have got to hang tough in the House and make sure that we do not allow that to happen. Nobody wants a government shutdown except for Democrats, and they want it for three reasons. One, they want to make sure that the immigration enforcement that we're doing, the security of the border, we can't do, because again, the counts that hurts them in power. Two, they want to make sure that all the investigations that we are doing on fraud, waste, and abuse stop. Because what are they finding? That there's a ton of Democrats who are actually, you know, Democratic organizations, Democrat associations that are being kind of wrapped up into this. This has been long term, and the more that we uncover, the worse it looks for Democrats. And three, if you start looking at where these tax funded NGOs and their work, this Marxist communist focus to destroy our country from within, and it's being funded by their own government dollars, that we are putting a stop to that. Democrats don't want it. So yes, do I think that in a time when we just have massive winter storms and we need things like FEMA, when we need TSA working regularly to make sure that people can get home, are Democrats willing to shut down the government? They are. Why? Because of power and money. Republicans had better hold strong, and I know that I have no intention of allowing that to happen.
Now, you see, this is why I love people like Beth Van Dyne, that she is a fighter, and she is willing to stand up, and she's willing to put her foot down. And she also called Mayor Jacob Frey an idiot. Well said, ma'am. So, look, we're going to take a quick break, but and I want to throw this out. I am an absolutist. I absolutely believe that all of the illegals got to go. Some of you may disagree with that. Do you believe that if somebody has been here 10, 20, 30 years, that they should be allowed to stay, but there's maybe should be a penalty attached to that? Or do you agree with me that everybody's got to go and then come back the legal way? Because in this entire conversation, nobody ever talks about the people wanting to come to America legally. They're the ones that are really getting screwed here. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, Valentine's Day right around the corner. And a lot of you guys, you're looking for something cool to do with the missus or the soon-to-be missus. Well, I want to tell you about an incredible new comedy that's actually funny, it's uplifting, and it's safe to enjoy for even families. Angel Studios has put together a wonderful film called Solo Mio, and it really is proof that Hollywood can actually tell a good love story without being crude or compromising values and beliefs. So the movie's set in Italy. Kevin James, one of the stars, big laughs, big heart. Jonathan Romy brings an incredible performance. You're going to love it. And it is so refreshing. I got a chance to watch an early screener, and it was so fun to sit down, watch a movie, and leaves you smiling. It's really wholesome entertainment, and you're going to love it. So when you become a premium member of Angel Guild, you're going to get two free tickets to see Solo Mio in theaters on February the 6th. So grab your spouse, your sweetheart, your family, and let's support stories that celebrate humor, hope, and love. I want you to write down the website address, angel.com/starnes.com. That's angel.com/starnes.com, and you'll be able to get those tickets. Become a member of the Angel Guild. I joined last year, and I love every single minute of it. We'll be right back. All right, coming up, we'll be checking in with our great Republican strategist, Luke Symbol. By the way, Josh Jones, down with the flu. I mean, the whole weekend, not good. Yeah, Tim Burchett's been wrangling with the flu. Congressman Jim Jordan will join us in the third hour of the program. Right now, Joshua joins us from Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Joshua, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd, first-time caller. Thank you for having me on. I just wanted to comment about this issue with the FBI raid in Fulton County, Georgia. The executive director of the state election board, his name's James Mills, a guy I've known for over 20 years. He used to be a state rep here in this county. And those of us who have been paying attention to the state election board meetings for, you know, the last few weeks are not surprised by this. There was a meeting on the 21st where the board dealt with some information that had been suppressed by Republicans in this state government for years, and they're just now dealing with it. And you might remember, I don't know if you saw it or not, at the World Economic Forum, Trump last week stated that people will soon be prosecuted for what they did related to that election. So we've kind of been seeing this coming. It's just that it's not really been out there in the public.
Well, and you're right about that, Joshua. It was interesting the way the Democrats are framing this is that they're taking all of this. You know, they said, "Oh, we don't know what they took. We don't know what they're going to be doing with it." So the argument from the Democrat side of the aisle and the mainstream media will be that the Trump administration manipulated whatever data they confiscated to show that Trump won. That's not what's going to happen, though. I'm telling you that they've got the goods. They would not have made this raid if they did not have the goods.
True. And there are meetings that, you know, you can look at these meetings on YouTube where, you know, this information has already been disseminated about problems. I mean, serious problems that were found in that data from that election.
Is it true, Joshua? Because I dabbled in, you know, I watched some of the videos. You know, we didn't want to get into the nuance of the state election boards in one state for the national show. But I do seem to recall that a lot of Republicans in Georgia have been bullied, you know, into submission here over this issue.
You know, I don't know that I could comment on that. I just, you know, I'm hearing that people at the top of state government are trying to suppress this. We're talking.
Why do you think that is? You're talking like people like Brian Kemp. I mean, is that how high this goes?
Brian Kemp, Brad Raffensperger, Chris Carr, who's the attorney general. And like I said, it's just what I'm hearing. But why would these kind of things? I mean, it's been 6 years. So why has this been kept, you know, suppressed for this long in a state that's Republican controlled?
Why would someone like Brian Kemp try to, you know, basically thwart the president of his own party? I mean, Brian Kemp's a solid Republican. Why would he do something like that?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. And like I said, I'm only talking about things I hear. I can't tell you for sure, but you know, when you hear things, it, you know, kind of makes you look and say, well, you know, it does seem odd that this hasn't been dealt with already.
Hmm. Well, no, it does. But again, a lot of this has been, there have been roadblocks put up by both political parties here. So let's see what happens. I think this is going to be blockbuster. I think Trump is not going to take us down this path unless he knows where we're going, and he knows. Joshua, I got to go. Man, thank you for calling. Great first call. You give us a holler back. Thank you for listening to WDUN, by the way. Great radio station. All right, we've got to take a quick break, everybody. Hey, write down our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Would love to hear from some more first-time callers. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. It is just so bad. So bad in the southern states right now. We are just not built for snow or ice. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us. Hour two of the big show. Coming up, our good friend Congressman Jim Jordan is going to be dropping by. So look, Dylan, I don't want to give up my Southern street cred, but we pride ourselves here in Dixie, where we broadcast this program from, and we broadcast proudly across the entire nation from Memphis, Tennessee. But we're pretty self-sufficient down here. We don't like asking other people for help. But I got to tell you, we need some help here because, Dylan, I'm telling you, Southerners don't know how to drive on this ice and snow.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lack of common sense going on across the roadways here in Memphis.
So here's what gets me. We need help from the Northerners, from you Yankee folk. Exactly how do we survive through all of this? Every year I've been back, we've had a major snowstorm. This is like 5 years, 6 years in a row. We've had major snow and ice storms. And by major, I mean, we only got like 4 inches. But we've been shut down for the whole week. The entire city, right? I mean, schools, churches, businesses,
everything. They're telling us to stay off the streets. It's day seven, we did get something, and it wasn't just, you know, it did freeze over the ice, but we weren't very proactive about taking it off when we had the chance to.
There are people still like stuck on Interstate 55 in Mississippi. I mean, for days, it's been horrible. As far as the eye can see, big rigs are lined up, and there's no word on when, you know, surface streets are going to be clear at all. Maybe in the spring. But they're saying schools like University of Mississippi Ole Miss may not be going back until mid-February. And now they're saying that the schools just here in the Memphis area, the Mid-South, you guys may not be able to go back to school until, what, the first week in February?
Yeah, I just want to know, people with big trucks and Jeeps and people that want to be having a truck or a Jeep and an SUV, I want to know what's going through their heads. Because, you know, we have a road here called Poplar that pretty much takes you across, you know, Memphis. And there's like one lane open, right, Todd? We both drive this road. There are trucks that are driving through the snow faster than people are driving on the road that you can see.
This is true.
And they're obviously going too fast, so they're spinning, and they're hitting things, and then that causes more traffic, and no one gets where they want to go.
It's as if they own a truck, therefore they are superior to everyone else.
Yeah.
That the rules of, I don't know, the rules just don't apply to them.
And they were like that before the snow, but now that the snow is here, it's even worse.
It's worse. You know, it's interesting, and Poplar, which is like it's a major artery from downtown all the way to my home. It's a three-lane road. Only one lane is open. Dylan, it normally takes me exactly 10 minutes to get from my home to our palatial studios.
Yes.
Where I can sit down behind this big, beautiful, huge microphone every single day. It took me 45 minutes to get home yesterday. 45 minutes.
Yeah, I'm in a similar situation. We take the same route basically to our homes. Yeah, yesterday a Tesla of all cars tried to pass me going through the snow, and he spun out right behind me. Yeah, no sound.
Wow,
very quiet.
Shanklin says in Memphis, 2 weeks out of school may make the kids smarter. Fair enough. So anyway, I went to Kroger, and I don't know if you've experienced this. Here's how bad it is. I was talking to our Congressman David Kustoff, and he said, oh, yeah, I think the Kroger in his neighborhood actually has provisions. And I said, really? Because mine doesn't. I mean, it looked like a wasteland. There was nothing. Even here's how bad it is. Even the raisin bread was gone. Nobody eats raisin bread.
Yeah, everything's gone. I actually didn't even make it in. I tried to go around 6, and they were closed. No one was here.
So anyway, very curious to hear from you today. If you have some advice for all of us in the South, how do we survive? We need some pointers here on how to live. I had to ask our poor congressman when he's out grocery shopping, if he could pick me up a 6-pack of Dr. Pepper. It's unbelievable. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. No, I know it's other people's weather problems, but I think as a region, we could benefit from the wealth of knowledge from our Yankee brethren. Let's go to Lee in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Lee, how bad is it where you are?
Oh, man, it's really bad in the neighborhood. You know, on the main street, it's sort of in between. You know, some of them good, some of them bad. But, Todd, I want to mention this. Whatever happened to the old days when they had change on tires and cars and stuff? Do they still do that?
Well, they do it in California, and they do it in New York City, where you put the chains on your tires, and that way you're able to, you know, get from point A to point B.
They still sell those?
I'm sure they do, but I will tell you this, only because I went to 5 different Home Depots yesterday. There is not a single shovel to be had in the Mid-South. There's not a single bag of ice or salt melt, ice melt.
Yeah, you know, I'm old school. I was just wondering, you know, could I stand the change back in the past, the way they used to do it, to put these things on the tires of cars? That was just one. And another thing that's kind of strange, too. Whatever happened to the turtleneck? I mean, I was looking for a turtleneck. I couldn't even find one. All this stuff that was in the past, don't exist now in the future.
The turtleneck sweater?
Yes, sir. I mean, just simple things like that. It just amazed me that it don't exist anymore. Thing like,
were you a big turtleneck guy back in the day?
Oh man, I used to wear a turtleneck back in the '60s, early '60s when we had all these blizzards going on, and they talking about what weather relay? What they call that stuff about the weather? You didn't mention about Hillary Clinton, Al Gore, what do they call that?
Climate change, global warming.
Yeah, climate change. They need to quit that stuff, man. Climate change. Ain't no such thing as climate change.
Well, Lee, I disagree with you on that. I think there is climate change. It's called winter, spring, summer, and fall. It changes like clockwork.
I'm sorry. You're right. I do agree with you, too. Oh,
yeah, we're good. Thank you, Lee. All right. By the way, now I know you're a big turtleneck guy, but now they're saying the quarter zips, which are sort of like turtlenecks, but you have to, it's like a quarter zip that a lot of the young guys are wearing these days.
What is it?
It's called the quarter zip. If you go down to Target, I'm sure they'll be able to help you. I don't know. But apparently all the young people are wearing it. It's kind of like the latest craze. A lot better. They're wearing the quarter zips and having their pants hanging down off their behinds. So
I agree with you. Hey, can I say one thing before I leave?
Yeah, sure.
It's about the president of the United States. I mean, I am a Trump supporter. This president is amazing. He brought consciousness to the American people. When I first heard him say this word, the media, this is a lie. I mean, this kind of stuff, when he said that, that just unlocks the floodgate. I mean, this president is so great. He's just letting the public know the truth. He just opened up the conscience of these people on this planet. And I really appreciate you, President Trump.
Lee, God bless you, sir. And thank you for listening to KWAM. Stay warm, and we'll check on the turtlenecks for you. My mom made us wear those back in the '70s when we were like in like first and second grade. I think I've got first, second, and third grade for school photos. I was wearing the turtleneck. Wasn't a good look for me. Let's go to Wayne in North Carolina. Wayne, what is on your mind?
Hey there. I agree with you 99.9% of the time, but I'm a little bit down on you. I agree every one of these 20, 25 million that Biden and the Democrats turned in here for 4 years, every one of them needs to go. And I know that you want to ship all of them out. I've been dealing with Latinos and people, you know, I'm 83 years old. A lot of guys that I've brought in here, and a lot of them become citizens and got green cards and everything else to work. They're just good, hard workers.
So, look, I'm not disputing the fact that, Wayne, I remember you now. You've called in a long time ago, and I remember our conversation about illegals. And I'm not disputing the fact that they're hard workers at all. I'm not disputing the fact that many of them are good family men. What my issue is, if you've been here, you know, five to 10 years, and you haven't done anything to get a green card, you haven't done anything to become a legal citizen, then that is on you. And then at that point, you're intentionally breaking the law. And I got a big problem with that.
No, I get these guys green cards. Then if they want to get to be a citizen, you know, they can go, you know, I've got some that are citizens now. And there's one or two that's happy with a green card. And fact of the matter is, they can go back and forth to Mexico. But it's dangerous to go to Mexico anymore because there's a lot of them got property and stuff in Mexico, and they don't dare drive down there. I've got one guy that works for me for the last 20, 25 years, and every December, for a month. He'd go back and visit, but he rides the bus 2 to 3 days getting to visit some of his family in Mexico.
Wayne, let me ask you, what kind of business? I believe you owned a business or own a business. Is that right?
Yeah, I farm. I've done all kind of farming.
Okay.
I primarily grow apples. And I got a franchise. I've got a honey baked ham franchise. So, I mean, I've got a lot of different things.
Well, you should have led with that. You're a stock increased with me. I love honey baked ham. Wayne, let me ask you a question, though, real quick. Are you not able to find people that are born and raised here that are actual legal Americans to come and work for you?
Well, we hire anybody coming and going. Now, I'm kind of supposed to be retired since 2010. I've kind of leased out everything I've got. I just more or less play with everything I got now. And I've had upwards of 1,000 acres that I've taken care of over the years. And everything I got is leased out. And but as far as hiring, we hire any and all local help that we can.
What percentage of the workforce that you have, what percentage would you say is illegal?
Technically, depends on whether you call green card holders illegal.
Well, no, if they got a green card, then they can, I'm talking about just illegals, yeah.
Illegal, I've got one guy, what's the funny thing, that works for me and been here for probably 40, 50 years, and he's tried to get a green card, and he's actually got two kids who's born here that's, gee whiz, they're probably in their 30s now.
And this guy's been here all that time, and he's still illegal.
He's tried to get a green card and one thing or another. I know that
Trump has
been here in my area, and I've had an offer to go to the White House and visit with him, and I'd like to, somebody that's got a little bit of pull to help this guy get a green card.
Wayne, I would talk to your congressman, and you guys, they're going to have to get that worked out. But I wish them nothing but the best. But again, I still have not been swayed, and I thank you for the call, Wayne. I still have not been swayed. I think again, everybody's got to go. Everybody's got to go. And we got to go. Take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. What do you say to somebody like Wayne, who is a business owner who has illegals working for him on his farm and in his businesses? By the way, tonight, 5 o'clock, we have a jam-packed show on Newsmax. Senator Steve Rounds is going to be joining us, among other special guests. By the way, millions are tuning into Newsmax, watching us on cable, our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today. Join our news revolution. Go to Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes just seconds to start. And let President Trump know you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people.
The shot, Ozempic, I think, or whatever. And I told him it wasn't working. It was, for him, it didn't work. And he brought up a good point. It didn't work. I told him, he knows who I'm talking about. He's going crazy. Begs me not to mention.
He's not talking about me, ladies and gentlemen.
No. It's not our great vice president. No, but he begs me not to mention his name because he's become very famous without mentioning his name. And he is actually a very well-known business person. But he did make a point. But I knew the point very well. We were always paying far more than any other nation. We were subsidizing the world. Right now, there's no more of that. So we're going to be bringing the drug prices down at numbers never seen before. It's going to have a huge impact.
All right. Here's the president. I'm sure the vice president appreciates some clarifying there about Ozempic. The president holding a cabinet meeting and said it was not going to go on for 3 hours like the last one did. So good for you, Mr. President. All right. This from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Man, you guys got snookered. You got taken for a ride by this radical Democrat, Spanberger, who's your new governor. Looks like 50 new taxes are coming your way on everything from dog walking to lawn care. Take a listen.
Here's a list of the many tax increases and proposals Democrats in Virginia are considering passing. They include additional local sales tax in all Virginia counties and cities, new personal property tax on electric leaf blowers and electric landscaping equipment, large employer tax, gun and ammunition tax, new income tax brackets, a delivery tax. This would hit you if you make an order on Amazon, Uber Eats, or an order that includes UPS, FedEx delivery, etc. here in Northern Virginia. There's also a tax they're looking at for events, concerts, an investment income tax, storage facility tax, gym membership tax, dog walking tax, dog grooming tax, counseling tax, digital personal property tax, new car taxes and highway use fees, an increase in the hotel tax here in Arlington.
Just some of the 50 new taxes that you folks have to look forward to. All because you elected a Democrat. So there you go. Elections have consequences. What do you want me to tell you? All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our number. Hey, head over to toddstearns.com in the break. Check out all of our new content. Have some new stories uploaded, including a very concerning survey on socialism and young people. You want to read that, toddstearns.com. Dylan, you're not going to believe this. I know that. Did you ever have to study Shakespeare in school?
I did read a Shakespeare play. Yeah.
Yeah. It was hard, you know, getting through that old English.
The thuses and the hasts.
Romeo, thou. Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Come with haste. Yeah. Those things. Very, very confusing sometimes.
Well, it turns out that Shakespeare was not a white guy after all. Did you know that? I had no idea this was actually in dispute.
I did not know this.
Yeah, it turns out there's a new book out, and the new book claims that Shakespeare was actually a black Jewish woman.
Oh.
And not a white guy.
Wow.
So anyway, I did some research, and a rumor has it that Shakespeare's real name is Shaniqua Shakespeare.
Okay.
So that's...
I'm glad they're finding this out now. This is good.
Shaniqua.
Shaniqua.
Shakespeare. Let's say hello to Luke Symbol.
He's always trying to get me in trouble when I come on the show. I'm sure Jasmine Crockett agrees wholeheartedly.
Or it could have been Shaniqua Shakespeare. If, Shaniqua was, Shakespeare lived in Memphis, I guess. Shakespeare.
Off Orange Mound.
That's yeah, right. Well, you never know. Luke, good to have you with us today. A lot happening in Minnesota. You know, I had Congressman, I was talking to Congressman David Konstoff earlier today, and he said that he was not one of the people that came out and said, oh, we need to ease up in, Minneapolis. He was not one of the Republicans that said, we need investigations surrounding the shooting of the male nurse, who now, based on new video evidence, clearly this guy was one of the professional agitators.
Give it 3 days, and the leftist and media narratives always fall apart. When everybody jumps on the bandwagon and thinks that they found their next George Floyd, the narrative falls apart. But the problem is millions and millions of Americans for 3 days have heard that this guy was a wonderful nurse and community member and peaceful, and he loved his dog that died a year earlier and blah, 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 and literally edit MS Now editing the photo to make him try to look like a hunk. He was kind of a gross, really skinny, straggly dude. MS Now tried to make him look, they tanned him up, broadened his shoulders, made his face look better. And the narrative just falls apart. This is what always happens, and this is why you don't jump on the bandwagon.
As a matter of fact, here's Scott Jennings last night on CNN, listen to Cut 11, please.
Yeah, look, I think the video that we've seen adds context to what he was probably doing over a period of time. I think the narrative has been that he was just an innocent protester or some sort of an observer. It's obvious he was part of some organized effort to show up where federal law enforcement was and engage in some way, whether that engagement was recording or blowing whistles or whatever, or in the video's case, kicking in the taillight of a car. He was obviously there to do something. That doesn't supersede the need to have an investigation of the shooting. I support an investigation of the shooting. I will say I think the investigation needs to be holistic, and I care more about just the shooting. I care about, where did Alex Pretty come from? What part of a, what group was he in? Was he part of any kind of a training organization? I mean, I think what's going on in Minneapolis is more than just random people showing up to protest. I believe, and there's lots of evidence about this, that there are well-organized, well-trained, and well-funded agitators who are showing up with the purpose of provoking these kinds of incidents so that they can then create the narrative that somehow ICE is out of control.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's going on here, Luke. And it just, it pains me when Republicans, they fall for this every single time.
It is so frustrating. Have a backbone. We were winning the narrative. We were exposing the fraud. It was as clear as day. Because we were exposing the fraud, the far left dark money groups knew we needed the distraction in Minnesota. And it is my hypothesis that they funded so much of this. When you have protesters, well, literally there are videos of protesters saying that they were paid to be there, but when you have protesters carrying signs that cost $30 a piece to print within 24 hours at Kinko's, FedEx printing, you know that somebody is funding it. It's just, it's as plain as day.
You know, the pre-placed bricks, pallets of bricks that were used to attack folks. We've seen this multiple times from New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, and now we're watching it unfold, like Seattle, Portland, and now in Minneapolis.
You're exactly right. It is clear that it is an organized network. There are reporters on the ground who infiltrated signal chats showing that it's very, very organized. There are literal administrators whose job it is to organize these people to get out and protest. And again, sure, protest, stand on a sidewalk, blow a whistle, wave your hands, shout dissatisfaction. You don't get to impede law enforcement. And this Alex guy, this nurse who was such a wonderful community figure, was out there destroying federal law enforcement vehicles. He's on video kicking the taillight off of an SUV, literally vandalizing federal property, and yet he was a peaceful nurse who loved everyone.
And I will just throw this out there. I'm wondering, why wasn't that guy arrested at that point? I mean, that is a felony, what that guy did. He could have faced federal charges, and I'm wondering if the reason why he didn't is because of the blowback they would have gotten from the left.
I don't know. You're exactly right. Arrest every single one of them. That we need the National Guard in there protecting our ICE agents that are simply carrying out the law, that are literally performing targeted arrests of criminals, of illegal aliens who have been arrested before for committing a crime, and Minneapolis and Minnesota simply release them from the jails. It's unacceptable, and we have got to, and look, Scott Bessent has been all over the airwaves, Treasury Secretary, saying that they are looking into this, they are doing audits, they are going to find the people funding this, but we have to dismantle this. And when you had banks across the country years ago, within the past few years actually, debanking conservative groups, not allowing conservative groups to move money simply because of conservative ideology, what we need to do is cut off the funding. If you are committing crimes like this and funding violence against law enforcement, cut it off.
Well said. Luke Symbol joining us, a Republican strategist. And again, I think the concern a lot of Republicans have is that they want these deportations to continue. And we cannot let up on that. And I think that you're going to have some rhinos in the Senate, especially. That's where we saw a lot of the pushback. You're going to have them out there, and they have got to be silenced here. We've got to move on from the rhinos.
I agree. The rhinos, just don't speak. If you don't like it, talk about it when you're at coffee with your spouse in the morning. Talk about it with your family when you have a dinner party and your friends. There is no need for you to get out there and speak about this in the news. And it hurts you politically, because when you are a moderate Republican, the greatest threat you have is being primaried, somebody running who is more conservative than you and beating you. So just from a tactical strategy standpoint, moderate Republicans, just shut up. No, shut up.
That's it. I love it. Let's go to the phones here. Huntsville, Alabama. Carson, what's on your mind?
Hello. I'm probably more conservative than anyone that could call in. Here's my prediction. Come to midterms, in 3 years, there's going to be a Democrat president, and the Democrats are going to win the midterms bigger than ever recorded in American history. And you know why that is?
Why is that, Carson?
Because us conservative people, we want to live in America where we have constitutional rights. We want to live in an America where we know we're living in America. And for what is going on right now, if you want to know, the conservatives are extremely upset. We're talking about educated conservatives. And
what are they upset about? Carson, what are they upset about? What are they upset about?
See, the deal is they think this would only happen to the left. No. Once when the Democrats get in a Democrat president, they're going to open up the borders wide open and let them all back in.
But, Carson, why are conservatives so upset? That's what I'm trying to get at.
Okay. Here's the deal. Here's the way the conservatives see it. If they're going to do it to one person, they're going to do it to all of us.
Do what?
And all the conservatives...
Do what?
We don't want to be disarmed and be shot in the head. And this is how the women look at it. The women conservatives, they're stronger than the men. They say, we don't want someone jump in front of our women's cars to give probable cause to shoot our women in the face. And now you know, the conservative men don't want to be disarmed and then shot in the back of the head.
So is somebody trying to disarm conservatives there in Huntsville, Alabama?
That's if they do it in Minnesota, they're going to do it everywhere.
Oh, I see. Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, look, so again, this goes back to something the president said, and Luke, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. And Carson, thank you for the call. I know where you're going with it now. So there have been Republicans that are saying we've got to disarm. You can't bring a gun to a protest. That is not what the Constitution says. You can bring a gun, but you also have to be smart about it.
Right. Look, we live, Todd, in Memphis, Tennessee. It's a pretty dangerous city. It's getting safer because of President Trump and the Memphis Safe Task Force. But, you know, I recommend to folks get trained in using a firearm, carry one on you so that you can defend yourself. Of course, it is constitutionally permissible for you to carry a weapon on you. However, if you are going to a protest, you better be very careful. Again, stand on the sidewalk, wave your arms, blow a whistle, make your, you know, use your speech. But the First Amendment does not protect you carrying a firearm and trying to beat up law enforcement. That's not allowed. And if you are carrying a firearm and you're trying to get in the way of law enforcement by hitting them or destroying their cars like our supposedly peaceful friend Alex had done weeks before he was killed, that's problematic. And when law enforcement sees a gun on you and you're trying to hurt them, that is not okay. And so it has nothing to do with the constitutional rights. It has everything to do with maybe you don't impede law enforcement illegally and don't have a gun on you when you're doing it.
No, not at all. Exactly. And that's the point here. So yes, you are allowed. And the messaging from the Republicans on that, even from the president, was like, Mr. President, that's not what the law says. So anyway, it is what it is. All right, Luke Symbol, as we begin to look, we're making that turn towards the midterm elections. I know in Tennessee, a hotly contested gubernatorial race, which is really not. Marsha Blackburn leading both candidates by well over 50 points. Congressman John Rose and State Rep Monty Fritz. How do you see the midterms playing out overall for Republicans nationwide?
You have been screaming this from the rooftops, and I agree with you 100%. It's about the economy, stupid. And I think that this will all depend on what that big, beautiful bill, whether or not the provisions start to kick in and we feel the economy moving. We've gotten several very good economic reports that have surpassed expectations, the employment reports, the GDP numbers growing. But if the average American can feel the effects of the economy turning, the economy being positive, and we can effectively message and say we don't want to go back to those dark years when Biden and the Democrats had the House and the economy was in shambles, I think we can do really well. And I agree with President Trump, who just said the other day there have only been a couple times in the past 50, 60 years where the party with the White House kept the House in the midterms, and he wants to do that. And so if we can feel those economic effects, we'll be very good. We have got to squash the uprisings. People don't like chaos. I wholeheartedly believe it is the Democrats purposefully causing the chaos. You've got to squash it.
Well, and to your point, and I want to play this audio. This is the president just a little while ago talking about why the Democrats are now pushing or pulling back from the whole affordability narrative. Let's take a listen to the president.
Are coming down very fast, and you don't hear the word affordability issued by the Democrats anymore. Now they're going into other things because they're getting beaten badly on affordability. Remember that when I was elected, I came into office, I inherited a total mess, starting with eggs, which were four times higher than they were just a year before. And Brooke got them down very quickly before Easter. They said they wanted me to buy plastic eggs for the egg hunt at the very famous egg hunt at the White House. Sir, would you buy plastic eggs? I would buy a lot of, like, 100,000 eggs. They said, we're not going to buy plastic eggs. And by the time we had the egg hunt, a few months later, we had the prices down pretty good. And now they're really low. Now they're at a very low level. So we really have, you don't hear the word affordability because we inherited very high prices and we inherited the highest inflation in 48 years. I say the history of our country. I think it sounds almost the same. Actually, I think 48 years sounds actually worse for some reason. So I'll go with the 48 because the press corrected me. I said history and they said, it's not history. It's 48 years. I said, I'll accept that. And we had the highest inflation in 48 years. We have now very, as you saw yesterday with the Fed, I'm not a fan of his. He said that inflation essentially is not a factor. It's really been pretty amazing. I just put out a statement about his statements. I won't repeat them here because they're too angry.
Well, there you go, Luke. And again, the economic indicators, the economy may not be an issue at all in the midterms. 30 seconds.
We are winning the narrative on affordability. That's a credit to this White House and Trump's master at communicating. We need to keep pushing that message. You've been screaming it from the rooftops, Todd. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
All right, Luke Symbol, everybody. Luke, good to see you. And folks, hang tight. Got to take a quick break. All right. Wow. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Coming up in the next hour, Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio, chairman of the House Judiciary, is going to drop by. Dylan, I want to go back. I want to go back to Black Jewish Shakespeare. Pardon me, Shaniqua Shakespeare. I'm not sure I believe this. Otherwise, you know, because you're just like, remember Romeo and Juliet, which I think is probably the most famous of the Shakespeare. Did you have to read a Shakespeare play in
school?
That's
the one. Yeah, Romeo and Juliet. Yeah. That's the one.
It goes, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Mm-hmm.
No, if it was really written by Shaniqua,
don't.
It would have been, Romeo, Romeo, where you be, Romeo?
I knew that was coming.
I was waiting during the entire Luke Symbol interview, and it struck me. So because they didn't do it like that, I don't know if Shaniqua was really Shakespeare.
Yeah. Well, you know, the pictures that, you know, we've seen in our history books of William Shakespeare, Shaniqua, whatever, he looks pretty white, so I don't know.
He could have a little fro on the side.
It's true. His hair is curly.
Froage, mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know. Black Jewish woman.
Yeah.
Shakespeare.
Very Shaniqua. Impressive.
Where you be, Romeo? Oy vey. All right, we got to take a break. We may be canceled. I don't know. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, head over to toddstarnes.com. I want you to stop what you're doing. Go to toddstarnes.com right now. Get our newsletter free of charge. Get our podcast free of charge. Buy my book. Well, that's going to cost you. Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, a great way to celebrate America 250. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. So our good friend, Congressman Tim Burchett, is urging all of you, and again, this is a call to action, the congressman urging all of you to reach out today and call your senators. If you're in Tennessee, for example, you would call Marsha Blackburn and Bill Hagerty. Call them and demand that they defund the Taliban bill. So the Taliban bill is up for a vote today. Folks, again, you're going to be shocked by this. $40 million of your hard-earned tax money goes to the Taliban every week. $40 million. And Congressman Tim Burchett is done. Done. Now, the House has been all over this. But the Senate, they're getting squishy, ladies and gentlemen. So you need to call and you need to tell your senators to defund this insane piece of legislation. Just outrageous. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan, Helen shared a story with me that I'm very concerned about. I'm quite frankly alarmed. It turns out there is a new shoe, a new kind of shoe, that is what being sold, I suppose. And I'm one of these guys. I find a shoe that I'm comfortable with, and I'm there. That's my shoe brand for life.
I'm the same way.
I've got the On Cloud.
That's a good shoe.
Love them. When I go out walking, I like Brooks. Okay. Those are my two shoe brands.
Yeah.
I never could understand the Crocs. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that. And, you know, all the GOGs, the gals of girth.
Oh, yeah.
They wear Birkenstocks. And I've heard those are really bad for the bunions.
Well, yeah, I have Birkenstocks, but I don't have bunions. So maybe I'm okay.
I think it's all the protesting. You know, they have to stand up quite a bit.
True. Yeah, you're right.
So anyway, there's a new shoe. This is being done in collaboration with Crocs. And I never did wear Crocs. They always looked uncomfortable to me.
I wore Crocs, Todd.
Were they uncomfortable?
Well, so they have the strap on the back that puts them in sport mode, which is like a world-renowned thing. You know, you put it in sport mode, you can go as fast as you want. Your foot did slip and slide if it got a little sweaty inside there. So
because it's plastic, right?
It feels like plastic, but it's got the holes at the top so you can put your little charms in there. You know, it was a thing that when I was 12, so you can't, you know, judge me for that.
But now grown adults are wearing Crocs.
Grown adults do wear Crocs.
So now they're wearing something called Lego shoes. These are literally Legos that people can wear.
Yeah.
And they're giant.
They're very big.
This is insane. They're called Lego brick clogs.
They're exactly how they sound, too. The picture shows they are blocked shoes. It seems like you could place them on top of each other and maybe build something out of it. I hope that's the purpose here.
Mm. Loyal. This is from the New York Post. Loyal Lego fans freaking out over the beloved toy brand's first fashionable collab with Crocs, a pair of bizarre-looking, soon-to-be-released footwear, heralding the start of a multi-year partnership between the unlikely shoesome. So this is a real thing, right? We're not being punked here. Crocs actually has a photograph up, and the model, the fashion model, looks very unhappy. Like, she's like, what in the world is on my foot right now?
Yeah. It's not shaped to the foot, by the way. It is literally a block, so.
A giant block. These things are huge. So they're saying that you would not think, or you probably won't be wearing the block-shaped clogs for your next morning commute. Oh, that is true. How would you hit the gas pedal?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think your foot would even fit.
It would probably hit both gas and brake. So you're really not going anywhere.
Are you ready for this? The price is not as bad as I thought.
Mm-hmm.
$149.99. I mean, you're going to get a good shoe for that price, like a tennis shoe.
Yeah, but a block of plastic. I mean, Lego itself is plastic, and Crocs really are not that different. So that's pretty expensive plastic.
The industry already buzzing after the brands debuted their new baby at Paris Fashion Week. The statement pieces were shown off by rapper Tommy Cash. Any relation to Johnny?
I hope not.
Both companies have already teased an array of future products for both kids and grown-ups. The Lego Group's boundless imagination makes them the perfect match to Croc's wonderfully unordinary spirit. That's a word. That's a word for it. Mm-hmm.
I say if you're going to go with the Croc shoe, you might as well go with the Croc pants. I mean, the Lego Croc pants. And the Lego Croc shirt, maybe with a hat to top it off.
I didn't realize it was like, there's like a whole a Lego subculture, right?
Oh,
people,
yeah.
I mean, it's a thing.
It's a huge hobby.
Like, you know, they do the cosplay conventions. Lego has their own thing that they do.
Yeah, and they're very expensive. So if you look up any Lego set, you're going to be paying at least $50.
You know why I don't like the Legos? I'd always leave one in the carpet somewhere, and then you find it.
Yeah, you find it with your foot.
It's very painful.
Yeah.
Jay's Brick Blog, that's a Lego web, apparently a very popular Lego website, was one of the many block watchers. Oh, that's what they call them, blockheads or something? Is that what they call them? The Lego fans?
I'm not a part of that community.
They said at first the announcement came off like an elaborate joke, right? That's what we thought. And they said, no, this is actually happening. These look absolutely hilarious and will 1,000% be memed to death. Crocs is well known for its quirky collabs with brands ranging from General Mills to 7-Eleven and luxury brands as well. So there you go. All right, $150. Would you wear Legos on your feet for $150? So a few days ago, Dylan, we debuted something on this program. I had announced that I was starting a life coach ministry to help out the GOGs, the Gals of Girth. And a lot of people mocked me for this, but we decided to go mainstream with it. And last night on my Newsmax show, we decided to discuss this with our good friend Mary Walter and Kay Smythe, who is a great lady from Britain. And the ladies helped me understand why starting a life coach ministry called HOGS, H-O-G-S, Helping Obese Gals Slim Down, was a bad idea. Take a listen.
Mary, you know my heart here, and I want to help people. And I feel bad for these, the GOGs, I call them, Gals of Girth. So I'm thinking about starting a nonprofit life coach program to help these gals find husbands, learn how to bake a casserole. What say you?
Why would you do that to men? Do you hate them? This is a horrific idea. Why? This is a punishment. You should, first of all, so the left is fascinating because I have no idea what's happening with these women at all. Like none. I got nothing on this. I've been trying to noodle this one out for a while. But have you noticed on the left, the women are manlier than the men? Right? So why would you torture the men on the left? Why would you torture any of them? None of them want to get married to each other, and for good reason. The women want to hang with their people, and the men, I don't know what they're doing. But the women tend to hang around together. They don't want men, that group. I know some of them who are in that group. They're either never married or had a marriage that went south really badly. And now you're right, they hate men. So the only way that I think you should start this is if you want to fail just spectacularly.
Kay, what say you? I still think this is a pretty good idea, Kay. What say you?
No. So I don't mean to pull out the social scientist card, but I'm going to pull it out right here because I've spent a lot of time trying to analyze this. You know, I spent a lot of time living in California. I also used to have crazy colored hair, the piercings, the tattoos. Well, I still got the tattoos. They don't go away. They're permanent, kids. Don't get them. But here's what I've found. All of my crazy lefty liberal friends, all of them made that switch, a heavy switch to the other side, never went back. It never goes the other way, right? Like, you don't have someone who's conservative who goes to the blue-pink hair side. But all the women who really made that switch are all now incredible mothers. So yes, I do think it's a man thing, but I don't think it's just sort of like any man. What I did, which I thought was very sensible, so I started looking at the men in California and realized that most of them were kind of useless. They lived in cities. They were useless. They couldn't really do anything. They would take their cars to some other guy to fix them. We had this guy, Gavin Newsom, who was in charge. You guys might have heard of him. Terrible representation of a man. Terrible. Just useless. He's all hair and teeth. So what I did was I got out of there. I moved to the South. Guess what happened? Year later, I'd already met my now husband 2 years after that. Well, 3 years after that. I can't even remember how many years it's been now because it's all blurred into one. Pregnant, happy, thriving. So get these women out of the cities, get them a nice Southern gentleman, get them pregnant and make them realize they're not the most important people in the whole universe. They're a bunch of narcissists, and get them back to their natural hair color or blonde.
I like this.
You know, one or the other.
I like this. And Mary, here's the deal. And I think Kate brings up a good point. You don't want a guy that's going to moisturize or exfoliate. No, those are you want a guy that's going to be able to field dress some sort of like wild critter in the woods.
Yes.
That's the kind of guy you need.
It is, but now my husband cannot field dress anything in the woods, okay? But he's very handy. He can do a lot of things around the house. He can do stuff with the cars. He can do like a lot of really handy stuff. So that's fantastic. But I want to know where Kay's theory, what do we do with the aging hippies that are out there all the time? You see like that over 60 crowd. And when I was living in DC, I played a game, aging hippie or homeless, because you can't tell the difference. So they're wearing the same. Someone told them in 1968 that hair looked good on them, and so they're still wearing it. And they're all dressed in the army fatigues, right? And their hair is all out there like Bernie Sanders, like they combed it with a balloon. And what do we do with them? We can't get them pregnant because you can't get them pregnant unless there's a star in the East. So what do we do with them, Kay? I guess that's the question.
That is a great question. Honestly, I think you give them a bunch of legal weed and give them to the conservatives and let them do. Have you guys seen Landman? I think you do what Tommy Norris just did with his dad, right? Have him come live with the family. You bring in that very Southern wife, or maybe it doesn't even have to be a Southern wife. Maybe it just needs to be a sensible wife, right? Like a nice conservative wife who's going to give him a lot of love, a little bit of flirtationship. And, you know, when they start talking, like they start with their commie wittering, you just go, bless grandpa, he's probably just stoned. Let him be. He's doing it for his arthritis and he's just going to have a chill time. Kids, don't listen to him. He's crazy. But bless his heart, we let him witter. That's what we do. We leave him be.
You know, Mary, here's what gets me. These women were perfectly normal, good-looking, attractive American ladies until they went off to, you know, college. They took a gender studies class, I don't know, a lesbian pottery class, and the next thing you know, they're out there driving Subarus.
All right, well, as someone who did drive a Subaru for a while, let's lay off that, okay? But that's because it was a very practical car, and it was a good car, believe it or not. It's actually a really good car, just has a bad reputation. Yeah, you know what? I think I will say, yes, they go off to college and they're indoctrinated, but let's tie this all together. And Kay is right, and you're right as well. I've noticed with some of these young women, they go to college, and what are the young men doing? The young men are being very alpha. They're going back to church.
They're going back to conservative values, and they're looking around and they're looking at a guy who, to your point, Todd, has a better skincare routine than they do, and they don't want that. And they deep down want someone who is an alpha male, right? And so they're starting to change a little bit. I think you're going to start to see a change with these younger women who are going to follow the young men down that path towards more conservative family values. Fingers crossed.
You know what it is, ladies? Kay, I'm going to give you the last word here. Here's what I think it's really all about. They see Donald Trump, and they see everything he has, beautiful wife, beautiful kids, beautiful grandkids, big mansion, and they want that. They want Daddy Trump.
I completely agree, because isn't that just what this country was founded upon? Like a nuclear family made up of a confident father, a beautiful, confident, secure mother who's also a homemaker. I mean, you know, Melania is a homemaker for literally the entire country, if not the entire world, as first lady. She raised an incredible son. I think there is a certain degree of maybe jealousy. I think there's a lot of insecurity that, you know, if we had time, we'd get into the influence of social media and how detrimental that's been. But here's what I love. And to what Mary said, I see shows like The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and this is going to sound crazy, but their wives and their mothers first. And you know what? These women, they look fantastic. They make women want to up their game. So I see that shift happening. I see that shift back towards faith. And I think if we all keep praying, there will be a solution here.
All right, Fernando Mendoza in the headlines. Enjoying his celebrity status after winning the NCAA college football championship, apparently was having some conversations with Tim Tebow. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, I called Mr. Tebow and a lot of my other mentors yesterday and early today because, you know, Mr. Tebow, he played in two national championships. He has that experience.
You can call him Tim.
Yeah, Tim. I talked to Tim and he gave me great advice.
Tim Tebow was a little miffed about this and said, dude, really? No, Mr. Tebow is my dad. Welcome, Tim Tebow, welcome to adulthood. That will be happening more and more the older you get. Anyway, Mendoza, man, you know, the guy is just, he's really, really just knocking it out of the ballpark every single day. Well done. Well done. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. This is from President Trump, and he's a little disappointed, just a smidge, a little disappointed that Marsha Blackburn is not going to stay in the U.S. Senate. Of course, Blackburn announced that she's running to be the next governor of the state of Tennessee, and full disclosure, I have endorsed Marsha Blackburn. Let's listen to the president.
Marsha Blackburn is an incredible person. Unfortunately, she's running for governor. She's running for governor of Tennessee. I'd love her not to. I begged her. I said, Marsha, we don't want to lose you in the Senate. But I have to say they're lucky. They're lucky to get you because you are a talent and a great person. And you've been with me all the way, and I appreciate it. And you're a very special person. Marsha, stand up, please.
Wow, there you go. No, the president's a big fan. She's going to do well. She's leading a Congressman John Rose and State Rep Monty Fritz by, I think, 50 points, 60 points. It's, wow, that's going to be an interesting race. By the way, speaking of interesting, America 250, and we have a wonderful way for you guys to celebrate. It's a copy of my brand new book called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You can get a copy on Amazon, your favorite bookstore, but get yourself a copy. We also have some great recipes in the book, too. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. We'll be right back. And welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our next guest, Congressman Jim Jordan, Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
I am doing well, Todd. Hope you are as well.
I am a little miffed, to be honest with you, at some of our fellow Republicans. You know, they always fall for, they get snookered by these narratives coming out of places like Minneapolis. And of course, now we have this new video that surfaced, and it turns out this nurse was not exactly the person that he's being portrayed as by people on the left.
Imagine that.
A horrible tragedy, but imagine that, Congressman.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is a tragedy, but you're also right that sometimes you got to wait and get all the facts and get all the information. The biggest problem I think in this whole thing is these sanctuary jurisdictions will not honor what's called the detainer, and it's, you know, in simple terms, here's what happens: they'll local police will arrest somebody who's done something bad. Maybe he's, you know, selling drugs to kids or whatever, doing something bad, and then ICE discovers that also this, because it's on a, it's you know, you can look at this database and find out who these people are who have been arrested, and it's a guy who's also here illegally. And ICE will send them this form and said, if you're going to release this bad guy, who, oh, by the way, is also an illegal migrant here in the country, give us notice so that we can come to the jail and arrest him with one officer or two officers instead of having to go out on the street with 6, 12, 15, whatever it takes. Just work with us. And they will not do it. I've actually seen the form from Denver, of all places. We had this in a hearing last year where the form, they actually, the local jurisdiction will stamp on the form, release to the street. They actually say that on the form. So what's happening is you're jeopardizing the safety of the public, of the law enforcement officers, and of course, even the migrant safety is jeopardized when you do that. That's the biggest problem. And if you fix that, I think you do so much to stop some of these things that are happening around the country.
I mean, when the issue is when you look at how these protesters are treating law enforcement, there is no respect at all. And my concern is that spreads across the nation, as if people think they have a right to go in and literally interfere as police are trying to make an arrest.
Yep. I mean, they've been doxxed, they've been tracked, they've been spit on, they've been harassed, they've been attacked with shovels. I mean, it's on as they're, and remember, all they're doing is enforcing the law. And then when you have this happening in sanctuary jurisdictions where from the top of that city or state, they're saying, don't work with ICE, don't honor detainers, which are just common sense. That's the environment that's in there. And you're right, it's tragic what happened to Ms. Good and Mr. Petty, but this environment that's created by the left is just it's just not good.
When you've got the governor and the mayor egging these protesters on, you know, that just raises it to an level. At some point, you know, we always talk about holding people accountable, but should the governor, should the mayor in Minnesota be held accountable for their actions, and what does that look like?
Well, in the end, that would be that'd be a call for the Justice Department, and you know, we're the legislative branch. All we can do is get to the facts, and we try to do that on, you know, a number of investigations. I mean, we just had Jack Smith in last week on a different investigation, and trying to get the facts. And we've actually referred one of his deputies to the Justice Department for prosecution because we think he was trying to totally obstruct our investigation. But that'll be a call for the Justice Department. There's a lot of investigating going on in Minneapolis, certainly with the issues relative to what's happened to ICE agents, what's happened to these individuals. I think those investigations are important to get all the facts and all the truth. And then there's, of course, the investigations relative to all the fraud going on up there as well. So, but all in the end, those will be a call for the Justice Department. And, you know, I have confidence in Attorney General Bondi and Deputy Attorney General Blanche.
Well, do you? Because that was my next question. You guys have been doing a lot of investigating. You're finding the facts. You're giving this information over to the Justice Department. Are you guys happy with the pace here? Because I'm telling you, the base is not.
No, I understand. It's probably, you know, I travel all over the country helping our colleagues and helping candidates. And it's probably the question I get most is, you know, people will say, and I think we've talked about it on your show, Talk. People will say, Jordan, when is someone going to jail? And I again lay out the, you know, we can do oversight, which constitutionally we're supposed to do, but we can't indict, we can't prosecute, only the Justice Department can. I do think they'll get to that. We've done referrals, and I always point out, Todd, we don't do criminal referrals very often. We only do it from the Judiciary Committee, our team, and our members on that committee. We only do it if the facts truly warrant sending a referral. We did it for John Brennan because he definitely lied to us in the deposition. And we did it for this Thomas Windham, who was one of the deputies for Jack Smith in his investigation, because he was clearly trying to obstruct our investigation. So we do it when the facts are there. I am confident, though, that in the Justice Department, you know, they're busy. And they've had a lot of people leave who are part of the, you know, part of the bureaucracy who didn't want to stick around and do things the way that you and I think they should be done. So they're doing the best they can, and I think they're doing a good job, and I do think they'll get to these issues in due time.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, we have our good friend Congressman Jim Jordan, Chairman of House Judiciary. I know a few moments ago you were tweeting out the really good news about the economy, and when you look at the midterms, I know a lot of people are thinking, oh, it's going to be immigration, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. I really do believe it's always about the economy in these midterms.
Yeah, and look, the big, beautiful bill, I think, starting to kick in. You know, letting families keep more of their money is a good thing. Letting families pick where their son or daughter goes to school and get a tax advantage from doing that is a good thing. Making able-bodied people in our welfare system work is a good thing for the economy, good thing for people, good thing for those families trapped in systems. All those are good things. And what we had, like, 4.5% growth last quarter? I mean, that's unbelievable. Yeah. We might hit as high as 5% growth here these next few quarters. That's really good. So, you know, when you have a leader in President Trump and a Congress who actually does what they said they were going to do, we said we're going to secure the border, we did. We said we're going to cut taxes, we did. Good things, I think, start to happen in your economy.
You know, I want to circle back to Jack Smith and those hearings. Do you think there's enough evidence there that does warrant prosecuting? I know it's up to the Justice Department, but in your opinion, Do you think there's a case there?
Well, we certainly know with Windham, his deputy, in what he was engaged in during his deposition. He took the Fifth 70-some times. We think he was obstructing our investigation. So we certainly think it was the case with him. What happens with Jack Smith, I don't know. But I do know this. I think Jack Smith was sort of the final result of this decade-long effort to go after conservatives and, more importantly, to go after, or just as important, to go after President Trump. And I said this to you. You know, it started with the dossier and spying on his campaign. Then it was Mueller. Then it was impeachment one, impeachment two, Alvin Bragg, Fonnie Willis, Radius Holmes, Jack Smith. Jack Smith was sort of the guy who was, that's how the left was going to get President Trump. And remember, Jack Smith was trying to put President Trump in prison. That's what he was trying to do.
That's right.
And the things, and during the hearing last week, when he was so determined to put President Trump in prison, he's willing to go get the phone records of the Speaker of the House. I mean, no. He knew when Kevin McCarthy called someone, when someone called him, how long the call lasted, who he was talking to. That's ridiculous. They went and got my phone records for 2.5 years. That's how determined they were to get President Trump, that they would engage in that kind of activity. And Jack Smith said, even though when I asked him about Cassidy Hutchinson, he said no one confirmed what she said, because we all knew what she said on the January 6th primetime hearing was a bunch of garbage. No one confirmed what she said, but Jack Smith still had it ruled out, putting her on the witness stand. That's how determined they were to get the president. So, again, I'll leave that up to Attorney General Bondi and Justice Department. But I do know his deputy, we did refer him for criminal prosecution.
Real quick, before we let you go, Congressman, I know that you and Senator Bernie Moreno urging the Supreme Court to uphold the president's executive order that would end birthright citizenship. How important is that?
I think it's very important, and I think it's interesting that here you have Senator Moreno from our great state, who, you know, came to this country as a legal immigrant, his family, who understands what this is about. I think that's important that he's one of the people who signed this amicus brief to the court as well. So we'll see what the court says, but I do think it's important because, again, remember what we saw over the 4 years of Joe Biden. No border whatsoever. Just a complete open border. Millions of people just coming into the country, and the election was largely about that issue, and the American people spoke in a strong way, and this is part of fixing the overall problem.
All right, good stuff. Well, Congressman, good hearing from you, and do you guys get a lot of snow there in Ohio, by the way? We're knee deep.
Just 15 inches in 24 hours. That's all.
We've been shut down for a week in Memphis. We only got 4 inches.
Yeah.
All right.
Keep up the great work, Todd. Thanks for what you do.
All right. Thanks, Congressman. Jim Jordan, everybody, Chairman of House Judiciary, doing a great job. Busy man. And we sure appreciate him taking some time for us. You know, it's You're not going to hear the Republicans coming out and say this, but they're getting frustrated about the pace and the lack of movement in the Justice Department on all of these cases going back to Russia, Russia, Russia. We have yet to see anybody prosecuted for that. And so, again, all the House can do, and the congressman's right, they do not have the ability to prosecute. That is up to the Justice Department. These investigations, they present the facts. The question is, what is the Justice Department going to do? All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to Texas. Johnny, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Johnny, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Thank you for taking my phone call. Well, I wanted to compliment you on that interview with those two ladies. I think that would be a TV-worthy interview.
Thank you.
I thought it was excellent.
Well, but thank you.
I have frustration. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
I have frustration with our congressmen, all of them. They keep saying how much they have done, but in reality, we elected the ones we elected to save this nation. It's great getting us tax cuts, but that doesn't save the nation. What saves the nation is codifying those Trump executive orders and passing the SAVE Act and a whole lot of other assorted things like that. And I would just love it if someone such as yourself, when you had those gentlemen on, maybe direct it in that direction a little bit. I know it might cost you a guest, but you're so good you could do it politically correct.
Well, you're kind to say that, Johnny. You know, we have and Jim Jordan is he's one of the good guys up on Capitol Hill. He's not one of the problematic guys, and we have had some of those that are problematic on the Newsmax show, but a good many of them are just simply will not come on the program because they don't want to answer those questions. So, but I understand where you're coming from, Johnny, and I can understand your frustration. You just want Congress to do what they said they were going to do in the first place.
What they said when we elected them, they would do, and they're not.
No, sir. You're right,
and
they're not.
They don't need the Democrats. We still have a majority. It may be slim in the House, but there's a majority. And for those that are not willing to step up and support what we elected President Trump to do, primary time is coming. That is our term limit time. We don't need to wait to get the right to term limit. We already have it in the primaries. If Republicans would just get out and vote. Otherwise, we're going to let the Democrats give us more John Cornyns, Dan Crenshaws.
You know of what you speak, Johnny. Yeah, I mean, the list goes on and on. You're absolutely right. Johnny, I've got to leave it there, my friend. Great call, great point of view. Thank you for listening to Patriot Talk 920 as well. Let's go to Bob in Georgia, wants to weigh in on that FBI raid. Hi, Bob.
Hey, man, good afternoon. Boy, it was a great day yesterday watching the people in Fulton County, Georgia, squirm as they were trying to talk down what happened yesterday in Atlanta with the FBI raiding the elections office there and driving away, 14 hours later with three truckloads of ballot evidence from 2020.
700 boxes, Bob, 700.
I know.
Wow.
But I want to connect some dots, Todd, if you'll let me.
Sure.
Yesterday, there was a flurry of Truth Social posts from President Trump, and one of them caught my eye, and it talked about Maria Zack. Are you familiar with Maria Zack?
I am not familiar.
Okay. Maria Zack made a presentation, I believe it was in Kansas, about 5 years ago, something like that, maybe a little bit longer. And Maria said that the Italian satellite Leonardo was used to hack into our Dominion voting machines and the ESS voting machines and change ballot information. And she said that, and I watched it, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, right. And but I kind of archived it, and I looked back, and I thought that was some kind of style. I really did, because there was so much misdirection going on. And then Trump tweeted yesterday about Maria Zach and foreign interference in our elections. And then you go one step further and you look back, I think it was 2018, there's an executive order Trump put in place, and it talks about foreign interference in our elections.
So what's the bottom line here? We're running out of time, Bob, so what's the bottom line?
Well, if you connect those dots, those people in Atlanta have a very good right to be nervous, because they're involved in treason. So, just saying.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. And again, you know, when it comes to the Dominion and Smartmatic, there's a reason I've stayed away from all that, because, Bob, as much as you guys love my radio program, you would not pay all of my legal bills. And all of the networks that did jump into that, they're having to pay hundreds of millions of dollars in fines and penalties as a result of that. So I'm waiting for the official truth to come out. I have no doubt that President Trump's got something. That's why they staged that FBI raid. No doubt about that. Bob, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening. Appreciate that, and thanks for the update and the intel. But there are a lot of moving parts here, and we'll keep you updated on what's happening out of Georgia. I have no doubt that the election was stolen. No doubt. The question is, where is the proof? And I think Donald Trump just may have his hands on the truth, at least in the state of Georgia. All right. This story out of Pennsylvania, it's Cone Maw Township School District. The district has pulled the plug on the local high school's character coach. Todd Cover is with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and he'd been leading devotionals. He'd been joining the high school football team with prayer. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is based in Wisconsin, got all upset about that because apparently Todd prayed, or a student prayed, in the name of Jesus Christ. They said adults are not allowed to participate in any student religious clubs. So the school district panicked, launched an investigation, and then they fired the character coach. So I guess character no longer counts in Pennsylvania's Comaw Township School District. By the way, nobody was forced, nobody was coerced to join the FCA. The problem I see is the Freedom From Religion Foundation. These folks, geez, aloo, they love to prey on these small school districts across the country. Insane. We'll keep you updated on that story. All right, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. Again, thank you to our good buddy Chris Salcedo for filling in yesterday and the day before. I'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, you get out there, you be good, America.